heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that as we look at your word, you will help us to see what you have to say. Help us, O Lord, to live for you day by day. And Lord, have your Holy Spirit not only living in us and through us, but helping us to live in such a way that people will see you in us and glorify you. We pray you'll be with us now for the continuance of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. We looked in the Old Testament, and as we read there, we've seen how Abraham was instructed by God, tested by God, and to take his son, Isaac, his only son, the one in which would be the lineage of Jesus coming, and through the lineage of David, and so forth, as you follow that through Scripture. And we find God testing Abraham. How true is your faith? Is your faith in me so strong that you will give me your all? Last week we talked about the lady that had said she'd given her all to the Lord. And when asked if she'd given up her son to be a missionary, or her daughter, I mean, to be a missionary, she had said no, she hadn't done that because she wanted that daughter at home with her. And it shows that we must give our all to God and have God first place in our heart and in our life in all that we say or do. It says God tested Abraham, and he says, take your son, your only son Isaac, and go up to Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah, if you will study history, you'll find that's the Temple Mount today. And when we were there a year ago, or a little over a year ago, we find we were on the Temple Mount. We were not allowed to go into the area where the mosque is. And still, the Temple Mount includes all of that area. And we find that the Temple Mount completely it belongs to Israel. But yet Israel gave the Muslims the right to use security on that particular mount to protect their mosque. And so one of the first things they did was not to allow any Jewish person up there without special permission. Some weeks ago, the Jewish police opened it up for the Jews to go up there one day in which to pray, and they could not go into the mosque, but they could go in that same area. And so they had sent up a bunch of Israeli police to protect not only the mosque, but to allow the Jews themselves to go up, because to them that was a special holy place. As we were there and we seen the steps up to the mount, and as we seen some of the steps going into the temple area, not the temple itself, but into the porch of the temple where Jesus had taken and done many miracles and had probably done much teaching. It's quite a thing to see. And when you look back some 2,000 years ago when Christ was there, you find that that whole area is holy to the Jewish people. Yet the Jews themselves will not admit that Jesus has come once and that Jesus was the Son of the living God. Some of them will say Jesus came for the Gentiles. Yet we find, because the Jews rejected Christ and his message, that the Gentiles were there to take it. And as we talked a little bit last Sunday, we find that the crumbs that fell off of the table of God's chosen people came to the Gentiles, which is the gospel and saving grace of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross as he died for each of our sins, that we can live eternally because we have Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We find that it is important to us then to have this. And in the text for today, we find that in Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 28. We find in this text that the Jewish leaders was trying to condemn Christ so that they could put him to death. And yet Christ showed them that he is the Son of the living God, yet they would not reject it. So if we would stand as we read these verses from Luke 11. And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, 'I cast out demons by Beelzebub.' And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judge. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first." And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." But Jesus said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. These were thy words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true." Amen. You may be seated. We've seen in Scripture that Paul is telling us to live a life of godliness, a life in which we can protect and proclaim Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, not to let the lust of the world and the lust of our eyes or the lust of the flesh or the pride of life to take over, but to remain humble before Jesus Christ our Lord, and let Christ show out and stand forth in all that we say or do, whether it's with our friends, our relatives, or our business acquaintances, or people we work with, that we show them that the love of God is in us, and it's the love of God that works through us, that we have that peace that only God can give. And as God might test us at different times, we find that we want to trust in Jesus Christ, the one that died on Calvary's cross, the one that was buried and rose again from the dead, the one that tells us, "I have gained a victory over death, over sin, and over the devil himself, and I have taken the keys of hell and of death away from him. I have given you, and I am giving you the right to choose life and to choose it more abundantly. In this we find in the world today, they are trying to take prayer and Bible readings and stuff out of schools and out of all places in which we can have, and they even want to take it out of many, many churches, and they are seems like they are winning. Christ says, you know, if I am casting out demons by the devil himself, his kingdom will fall. Yet he told us, he says, Satan is the father of this world, and because you do not believe that I am the Son of the living God, and that God so loved the world that he sent me into the world to die for the sins of the world, you will die in your sin. And then he tells them, he says, you know, you have people out there casting out demons. And if I cast them out by Satan himself, as you claim, who do they cast them out with? And they would say, with the word of God. And then Jesus says, they will be your judges. And he tells them, you know, if I cast out demons with the finger of God, you know the Son of God is with you and living with you and here with you, but you are rejecting him. And many of those who believed on him at that time continued believing, but they were silent and would not stand up. We find today in the schools and in many business places that you cannot talk about your religion. You cannot talk about not only the religion, you can't talk about your faith in Jesus Christ. And you're not supposed to be able to tell them how wonderful God is to you, that he gives you the eternal peace within your life, even when hard times come and when trials come upon you. We find many times and in many places that this is so true even today. And we find so true today that many people don't want to hear how wonderful God is, how wonderful God has been to each one of us, that his mercies are new every day. I once had a manager, and he had told me, he had said, you can talk about anything you want, but you don't talk about your religion or you don't talk about Jesus because I don't want to hear anything about it. And I said, okay, I understand that. I'll do my job, and I won't talk about the Lord. And it was maybe 2 or 3 years later, the man got sick. And he come to me, and he says, what can I do about it? And I said, have you ever thought about calling on Jesus Christ to not only save your soul, but he can heal you if he wants to? But are you willing to give your all to him? And from that time forward, that man had no problem with me talking about salvation or about what Christ could do for you. He knew his physical life would be a disaster. He knew he would be condemned into hell if he died. And yet he didn't want to do that, so he wanted to grasp a hold of what was eternal. And we had a few conversations on it, and he did say he wanted Jesus as his Lord and Savior before he died. Yet we find so many people think that they can go through life. They don't realize that God gives them sun, rain, and he gives them good weather and bad. He gives them good things as well as some of the things that might happen. Yet, when hard times come and they don't have Jesus Christ in their Lord as their Lord in their heart, they are at distraught, and they are maybe become many of them discouraged. And yet, even Christ will tell us that Satan will do everything he can to make the Christian give way and give sway to things of the world. Yet as we trust Jesus Christ, we find we have that eternal peace. We have that eternal peace within us, regardless of the things going on in the world. And I would like to read a article from a paper, and I'll read it the way it's written. And on January 9, a Virginia delegate, Kathy Tran's priorities were on full display when she introduced Bill number 2491 to repeal all restrictions on abortion in Virginia, that you could kill that child or that fetus or baby until it was born. And then under certain circumstances, even if after it's born, you could end its life. She introduced that bill because she says it'll make people much better. Four bills later, 2495, in that same day, she introduced a bill into the Virginia House and Representatives or Congress, and she says we must do all we can to protect the canker worms. Where is her heart? Where is her thinking? She wants to kill human beings all the way up through the time they're born and maybe after. But she wants to keep the worms alive because it's a must. We see in this case, and you can speak, and I'm sure Marv could vouch for it, in the case of the Gideons, it used to be you could go into the schools and the schools would give you the opportunity to go into the classroom, and if anyone wanted a testament or a Bible, you gave it to them. You didn't coax them. You asked if they wanted one to raise their hand, and you gave it to them. Today, you are lucky or fortunate, I should say, if you can be on the sidewalk outside of the school property. They claim we have to keep religion out. Yet, in certain aspects, they will give certain people the right to worship even in their schools. There is nothing in the Constitution, in the state or in the national constitution, that if the students want prayer or Bible study and it does not interfere with their studies, the school is supposed to let them hold them on school property. And yet we see the schools saying you can't do that. And it's all over. It's getting more and more, and it's getting worse. We find that I'm not politicking here. I'm only trying to tell you some of the things going on. There's a peace plan that's going to be proposed for the Middle East, and it's going to be proposed after the elections of Israel, which I think is on April 8 or 9. And then there's a peace plan that is going to be proposed, and they feel it'll pass. Thinking of that, and thinking that it might pass, Jesus says, when you see all of these things coming in the world, look up, for your redemption draws nigh, and it's at the very door. Where is Jesus in your heart? As we read this portion of Scripture, Jesus says, he who is not with me will scatter. And we find that happening so much today. Is Jesus number one in your heart? Are you sure of it? Make sure. Is Jesus number one in your heart? Are you willing to live in such a way that people will see you, even though it's in a troubled world, they can see you completely at peace because you have Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And amen on all of those, because Christ gives us that peace. Christ says, because you are worshiping me, because I died on the cross and I was buried and rose again, and you say, yes, I want you as my Lord and Savior, and I want your peace. And he says, I'll give it to you. I will help you. I will give you the wisdom you need, and I will help you. A woman cries out and blesses the woman that bore Jesus, which was Mary, and Jesus says, more blessed is if your name is written in heaven. How wonderful to know that our name is written in heaven, because we have Jesus Christ in our heart and in our life, and he's number one. Then we can sing, not only Jesus loves me, but Lord God, I thank you for all the mercy and grace that you have poured out upon this world and upon me and my loved ones. We find that when Moses was in Egypt and he had those 10 plagues that went against Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, take them away and I'll let your people go. And he hardened his heart. Then we find that because he had hardened his heart, when he finally did let them go, God says, I will show you that the Israelites are my chosen people, and you are to love them, even though they don't accept me at this time. They will find that Christ has come once and is coming again, and they will turn their hearts to me in time. And God told the Egyptians, you will die because you have your own gods, and your gods cannot save you. So they died in the Red Sea as those walls of water came back after the Israelites had went through. The Israelites wandered for 40 years, and that's another story, and that God tested them in that time, and they flunked those tests, and God is giving us some of those same tests, if you want to call it that. And he's saying, do you love me? And we say, yes, I love you. And he says, okay, speak to someone about me. And he gives us the opportunity to do that, and many times we fail. Many times we fail to show the love of God in our own hearts to those around us, whether it's relatives, friends, or business acquaintances, or somebody you work with. And yet when we stand up for Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is right there to help us speak and to show the love of Jesus Christ in our hearts to those around us. Yes, we live in a sinful world. And yes, we have a choice to follow God or to not follow him. I would urge and I ask everyone to say, Jesus, I want you first in my heart in all things, and help me to portray you in all things. Help me to take my eyes off the lusts of the world and off the pride of life, that I can see you and you alone, and that your glory is shown in my life. And that as I go forward, I can not only live for you, but I would live in such a way that people would see you in me and glorify you. We find that as we sing and we sing the songs, wide open as the loving arms of Christ, and yet we find many times we don't go to those arms that are wide open. We want to do it our way because we want to think that I have the right answer. Yet God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts. And I am telling you, God says, come unto me and I will give you rest. The rest of a perfect, peaceful soul, because you have me and you have my son, Jesus Christ, as your personal Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would watch over us and keep us in your care, that you would help us, O Lord, as we live day by day, that we would show your love and your kindness to all those round about us, that they would know we are walking and we have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Amen.